I suppose there isn't a big cat in the sky, is there?
I'm surprised at you, Morris. Of course there are no cat gods. That would be too much like work.
Morris nodded. One good thing about being a cat, apart from the extra lives, was that the theology was a lot simpler. I won't remember all this, will I, sir? He said. It'd be just too embarrassing.
Of course not, Morris.
Morris?
Colours returned to the world, and Keith was stroking him. Every bit of Morris stung or ached. How could fur ache? And his paws screamed at him, and one eye felt like a lump of ice, and his lungs were full of fire.
"We thought you were dead," said Keith. "Melissa was going to bury you at the bottom of her garden. She says she's already got a black veil."
"What, in her adventuring bag?" "Certainly," said Melissa. "Supposing we'd ended up on a raft in a river full of flesh-eating—"
"Yeah, right, thanks," growled Morris.
The air stank of burnt wood and dirty steam.
"Are you all right?"
said Keith, still looking worried.
"You're a real black cat now."
"Ha-ha, yes, ha-ha," said Morris gloomily.
He pushed himself up painfully.
"The little rat okay?" he said, trying to look round.
"He was out, just like you, but when they tried to move him he coughed up a lot of muck. He's not well, but he's getting better."
"All's well that ends," Morris began and then winced. "I can't turn my head very well," he said.
"You're covered in rat bites, that's why."
"What's my tail like?" said Morris.
"Oh, fine. It's nearly all there."
"Oh, well. All's well that ends well, then. Adventure over, time for tea and buns, just like the girl says."
"No,"
said Keith.
"There's still the Piper."
"Can't they just give him a dollar for his trouble and tell him to go away?"
"Not the Rat Piper," said Keith. "You don't say that sort of thing to the Rat Piper."
"Nasty piece of work, is he?"
"I don't know. He sounds like it. But we've got a plan."
Morris growled.
"You've got a plan," he said. "You made it up?"
"Me and Dark Tan and Melissa."
"Tell me your wonderful plan," sighed Morris.
"We are going to keep the Kikis caged up and no rats will come out to follow the Piper. That way he'll look pretty silly, eh?"
said Melissa.
"That's it? That's your plan?"
"You don't think it'll work?"
said Keith.
"Melissa says he'll be so embarrassed he'll leave."
"You don't know anything about people, do you?" sighed Morris.
"What? I'm a person," said Melissa.
"So? Cats know about people. We have to. No one else can open cupboards. Look, even the Rat King had a better plan than that. A good plan isn't one where someone wins. It's where nobody thinks they've lost. Understand? This is what you have to do."
"No. It wouldn't work. We need a lot of cotton wool." Melissa swung her bag around with a look of triumph.
"As a matter of fact," she said, "I'd worked out that if I was ever taken prisoner in a giant underwater mechanical squid and needed to block up..."
"You're going to say you've got a lot of cotton wool, haven't you?" said Morris flatly.
"Yes."
"It was silly of me to worry, wasn't it?" said Morris.
Dark Tan stuck his sword in the mud. The senior rats gathered round him, but seniority had changed. Among the older rats were younger ones, each one with a dirty red mark on his head, and they were pushing to the front. All of them were chattering. He could smell the relief that came when the bone rat had gone past and had not turned aside.
"Silence!" he yelled.
It struck like a gong. Every red eye turned to him. He felt tired, he couldn't breathe properly, and he was streaked with soot and blood. Some of the blood wasn't his.
"It's not over," he said.
"But we just..."
"It's not over!"
Dark Tan looked around the circle.
"We didn't get all of those big rats, the real fighters," he panted. "In brine, take 20 rats and go back and help guard the nests. Big Savings and the old females are back there, and they'll tear any attacker in half, but I want to be certain."
For a moment, In brine glared at Dark Tan.
"I don't see why you..." he began.
"Do it!"
In brine crouched hurriedly, waved at the rats behind him and scuttered away. Dark Tan looked at the others. As his gaze passed across them, some of them leaned back, as if it was aflame.
"We'll form into squads," he said. "All of the clan that we can spare from guarding will form into squads. At least one trap disposal rat in each squad. Take fire with you. And some of the younger rats will be runners, so you can keep in touch. Don't go near the cages. Those poor creatures can wait. But you'll work through all these tunnels, and these holes, and all these corners. And if you meet a strange rat and it cowers, then take it prisoner.